online show in association with Sports Travel Tours, and this is our first part of our Wembley preview. The first Wembley game coming this weekend. We're going to be speaking with wide receiver of the Miami Dolphins, Greg Jennings, and quarterback of the New York Jets, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Can't wait for this as we look back at their week 3 games and look forward to Wembley. Really excited. This is the Gridiron Show. So, Ollie, a decision to release 2 podcasts in a day. Pretty bold, I think.
Bold. No one predicted that before when the show started.
No, exactly.
No bold prediction of that. Yeah, I think it was necessary, though, because we... Do you like that?
Yeah, most certainly.
I think it was necessary, though, because...
Otherwise, you would have had to have listened to, like, a 2-hour-long podcast. And this way, as I said in the last show, you can spread your Gridiron load over the week.
Oh, man.
Because not only that, but the new Gridiron magazine is going to be coming out in the next couple of days. Gridiron-magazine.com. If you've not already got your copy of that, it's got a really big look at the Dolphins, really big look at the Jets. Include some of our Mike Tannenbaum stuff from last week. Mm. People have had given really good feedback on that. And we'll break down their week 3 games. I don't think we'll look forward to the weekend game quite yet. We'll save that for the preview pod and anything else we get later in the week as well.
Yeah, sounds good. Good idea.
Beautiful stuff. Right, so let's kick things off then by talking to the man, the myth, the legend, who we love ever so much here. This magic. Starting quarterback of the New York Jets, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now, Ollie, the interview was with a number of different press agencies who were involved on the phone as well, and they asked a few questions about divisional rivalries, etc. But Ollie kicked off his questioning by asking about the game yesterday against the Eagles and the fact that he threw a career-tying high of 58 passes in one game, matching the number of passes he'd thrown through the first 2 games. So how he felt about that and how his arm was feeling this morning?
It's a little sore, but, you know, that's kind of how the game unfolded. You know, not something we want to live on. You know, we want to be a physical team that runs the ball and is efficient on third down and in the red zone. And so I don't think you'll see too many more 58 pass attempt games, but, you know, that was the formula for yesterday after falling behind.
Yeah, and Chris Ivory not being able to play, how much did that affect the offense, and what does he bring in both protection and in moving the ball?
Well, Chris is a very dynamic back, just a big, strong guy that has a great job of running through arm tackles and hitting the hole fast. And so we've got 3 different running backs with different skill sets, and, you know, Chris is certainly a guy that, you know, we're going to lean on heavily this year. And so, you know, it's nice to have him out there.
You mentioned your time in Buffalo and that you look good in green and white. Chan Gailey was your head coach in Buffalo and works as your offensive coordinator in New York. Has that helped you coming and getting settled into an organization at the Jets?
Yeah, it was an easier transition for me, just, you know, because you're always learning, going to different teams, you're learning a new offense, you're learning the players, you know, and even all the off-field stuff is new. So for me to be able to come in, to still have to learn the players and their skill sets, but to know the offense like the back of my hand and to have 3 years' experience in the offense already, that certainly helped my transition and has made it easier for me. And that being said, you know, nobody else really has experience in this offense, and so it's still just kind of a daily grind with communication and getting everybody on the same page.
It was a tricky day yesterday. 3 interceptions. Is that something that keeps you up at night, or do you put it away and say, right, on to next week?
Yeah, you just kind of, you know, come in today, we watch the film, and you try to learn from it. And then you got to move on. You know, you can't sit there, and whether it's a win or a loss, whether it's, you know, a bunch of touchdowns or a bunch of picks, you've got to come in with an open mind, learn from your mistakes, and move on and get to the next game. And that's the beauty of our game is, you know, we're sitting at 2-1 right now, and we've got a great opportunity ahead of us this week.
Talking about this week, how different is the schedule when it comes to you guys have got to fly over across an ocean arriving on Friday. How different is the schedule to a normal week where you don't have to make that journey, or is it just the same as any away game?
Well, it's definitely not the same as any away game. You know, we'll practice here Wednesday and Thursday, and then Thursday night we'll head over that way, you know, and land pretty much early morning there. And so it's going to be a little bit of a challenge, but it's a challenge for both teams to be able to adjust to the time difference and kind of get our bodies and minds ready to play on Sunday. So it'll be an adjustment for us. I haven't done it before, but you know, we'll lean on some other guys or coaches that have had some experience there and have them help us out just with what they've done in the past. And, you know, hopefully it doesn't become that big of an issue. You know, especially with it being our first loss of the year, we're still trying to figure out what type of team we are. And so we've got to be able to respond. And I think this will be a nice opportunity for us to spend more time together. You know, not just practice and meetings and all that, but off the field, spend some more time together and come together as a unit. So I think it is a trip that comes at the right time, and we could definitely see some benefit out of it.
Ryan, the Jets have lacked a true number one wide receiver over the last three or four years, really. Brandon Marshall's arrived this year with you. How has he been with you and the team, and is he one of the best wide receivers you've played with?
Yeah, Brandon's a great receiver. He's a true number one, has been in this league for a long time. He definitely poses a mismatch no matter who's guarding him, just with how big and physical he is, and also his knowledge of the game and the way that he's really, each year he's become a smarter and smarter player. And so, you know, we're able to rely on his experience a lot in terms of routes and being able to get open and you know, even just conversations on the sideline. And so Brandon is a huge asset for us, and a guy that's always going to see a lot of targets because of how special he is as a receiver.
Can you explain that lateral yesterday? Has he been watching too much of the Rugby World Cup? Has he explained it? I mean, what was he thinking?
Well, you'll have to ask him about the rugby, but, you know, that's the great thing about Brandon is he's such a competitor, and he's always out there trying to provide the spark. And it was just a nice reminder that we don't have to do too much, that we just have to stay within ourselves, let the game come to us. You know, he made a great catch, nice route on the play. It was going to be about a 15-yard gain. Just go down right there. Don't try to do too much. And it was, you know, it was a nice reminder, but that was it certainly a boneheaded play, and he'll be the first one to tell you that, but also just kind of his competitiveness coming out.
I wanted to ask you about Todd Bowles, Ryan. What the difference that with him that compared to some of the others you've worked with? Like, well, over here we've been treated to the Texans and Bill O'Brien on Hard Knocks. What are some of the differences that he brings to it?
Well, Todd is the type of coach that when he talks, you listen. He's never just going to talk to talk. He's certainly a guy that is measured in what he says, and there's always a meaning or a purpose in what he's trying to get across. And so he's got a lot of respect from the guys in the locker room because he's played the game too. But he's just a guy that treats us fairly, that, you know, respects us just like we respect him. And he's done a great job so far. You know, he's been in some difficult situations, which all head coaches are. I think he's handled them great, and he's just open and honest with the players, and I think that goes a long way.
And last week he reiterated that if Geno Smith was fit, you would still remain the starting QB. Has he spoken to you and reiterated that same thing to you after yesterday's game?
Yeah, I mean, I'm here to help the team win, and, you know, we just got to continue to get better, especially offensively, just continue to work and get better. And, you know, I've played long enough to know that you're only as good as your next performance. And so I've just got to, you know, continue to try to build on the start that we've had and, you know, put the last game behind us and just get better this week.
Up next, the Dolphins. They're coming off the back of a pretty horrendous defeat to your old team, Buffalo. Their defense, despite the preseason accolades, have only recorded one sack. Is that something that you guys are aware of, or are you expecting a full-out assault this week or this Sunday?
Yeah, they're always trying to get the quarterback. You know, I've got a lot of experience playing against these guys, and you know, personnel has changed a little bit, but their defensive coordinator, we were together in Cincinnati, and so I know that, you know, that's a big thing with them is getting pressure on the quarterback, and we haven't sat down and studied them a ton. We'll do that the next few days, but they're always a tough defense to go against. And, you know, in the NFL, you can't really rely on 1 week. You know, one team will show up and the next another one will. And so we've got to be on it. You know, they've got some great players on defense, and we have to make sure that we're putting the time in this week to scheme for that. Definitely some extra intensity heading into a game like this. Division opponents are always more familiar with each other. And as I said earlier, the games mean that much more because of playoff implications. And, you know, being able to beat somebody in division gives you a win, but it also gives them a loss. And so they certainly mean a lot more. You face each opponent twice, so the familiarity there. And then just the, you know, the added element of not liking each other because of the, you know, constant two games a year. It certainly builds on that as well.
It's at Wembley Stadium. What do you know about it? It's the home of English soccer. Are you excited about playing there?
I am. I'm very excited. I've never been over there, and so it'll be a new experience for me. But I've heard a lot about the history, and I think everybody is pretty excited.
And Brady, your son, we saw him doing some ridiculous math equations. The video went viral at a press conference last year. Has he got any new genius tricks for us in London? Is he coming over? And did you name him after Tom?
I did not name him after Tom.
Sorry, I had to ask that, Ryan. I do apologize.
Yeah, that's not the first time. That's not the first time I've been asked that, so that's okay. But let's see. Well, he did a Rubik's Cube trick over here with the Wall Street Journal. There's a video of it. He's mastered that and now beats Dad at the Rubik's Cube. So that's the next trick I think we have going right now.
Ryan Fitzquarterback.
Fitzbortles, did you say? You're a mess.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, starting quarterback of the New York Jets, playing in Wembley this coming weekend, speaking with our very own Ollie Hunter there. I enjoyed his response to when you mentioned Bill O'Brien and he laughed at you.
Yeah, he did.
And I thought overall that was some really interesting stuff in there.
I'm glad that I was there.
Why is that?
Because I was the only one asking questions. Seriously, there were about four or five other journos there. And we left out their questions, but come on, lads, come on. Okay. But yeah, it was good. It was good. He's looking forward to coming over here, as you heard. And I think it will be really interesting to see how well he copes with that front four, five, six, all of those underperforming Miami Dolphin defenders.
And look, he had a decent second half yesterday through touchdown passes to Brandon Marshall and Jeremy Curley in a 24-17 loss to the Eagles. We said last week, wouldn't it be the most Jets thing ever for them to finally be the favourites over a team and for them to lose? They went in at halftime at 24-7 down. Fitzpatrick threw three interceptions, the last by Walter Thurman at with 3:28 left, sealed Philadelphia's victory. First of all, before we get to the Jets, from an Eagles perspective, better. Not great, but better. Ran the ball with Ryan Matthews, who also of course, caught a touchdown pass. He had 108 yards on the day. Bradford overall, still a little shaky, but much better. Sproles, brilliant. The 89 yards punt return. I watched it on the condensed version. And I literally went, "What a punt!" Not knowing that was how he was then going to go and score. Evasive, patient, brilliant blocking. Everything about that was good. I mean, what a surprise. After last year, and we saw what we saw from them through the first kind of 8 or 9 weeks last season, it's the special teams and the defense that are digging out this Eagles team, which is what it was happening early last year. It's happening again. They move to 1-2. The Jets are 2-1 coming into London. I'm very excited to see the Jets over here. But is this going to be a case of a sign of things to come or just a loss against a decent team? They can brush it off and beat a bad Miami team this week.
I think that's that. The Philadelphia Eagles have never lost to the New York Jets. And that continued. I think it's a 10-game winning streak now. It was so very Jetsy and so very Fitzpatrick. sorry, Ryan, I know I've just spoken to you and you were lovely, really lovely, but very Fitzpatrick. He doesn't have... He's not elite. And you will get days like this when you have a quarterback that isn't in the top 10, top 12 quarterbacks in the league. So, look, it happens.
15, top 20, yeah, okay. Top 25.
Look, no, that's a different show.
I like that. Okay. I think he... He was very nice about Brandon Marshall. And obviously, Brandon Marshall, it's been massive for them, his performances so far this year. Scored a touchdown for his third consecutive game. We've said it already this year, but he likes to get hot early on with teams. But that lateral, which really cost them a drive, which could have brought them back into the game. And he let a fourth quarter pass slip through his fingers, which again could have led to a touchdown drive, which would have leveled the game. Seriously, despite having some big plays, two very silly mistakes, and really it was like his Jets moment, that lateral. It's like you can play sensibly and brilliantly for three games, but you're going to do something silly because you're in a Jets uniform.
He said that's the worst play of football ever.
What, Brandon Marshall?
Brandon Marshall's come out and said it.
What was this? I don't understand what he was thinking. Did he see Jeff Cumberland coming up the outside and went, that guy's brilliant in the open field, I'm going to pass it off to him?
No one knows, because you don't see laterals in the NFL. I can't remember the last time I actually saw one.
I think no one knows, including him. That's the main issue. But so we got the Jets here later this week, and we'll talk more about that game coming up as well. It was tough to see two teams coming into London losing, but the Jets lost in slightly better fashion, if any way you can lose is better, than the Dolphins did. Tyrod Taylor throwing for 277 yards and three scores in his first NFL road start yesterday as the Bills routed Miami 41-14. The Bills settled 429 yards against that much vaunted, and when I say much vaunted, Dolphins defense, I mean by us. Picked off Ryan Tannehill three times and they led 27-0 before Miami scored late in the third quarter. Buffalo were dismal. Let's just very quickly cover them off. They were dismal against New England last week. They really bounced back and were brilliant. Improved to 5-2 against Miami in the past 4 years. And do you know what? It was particularly strong day for both Richie Incognito and Charles Clay. I thought they were brilliant against the pass rush. Mm. Miami without a sack for the second consecutive week, and the pick that Ryan Tannehill threw, which went for a pick six, was just all about pressure up the middle. And Buffalo managed to protect against that pressure whilst the Bills brought that pressure. So it's disappointing. They'll move on to London this week, and let's talk to Super Bowl winning wide receiver, but with the Green Bay Packers, formerly also the Minnesota Vikings, and of course now with the Dolphins, Greg Jennings. And just before this interview starts, I'd like to give you just a little taste of the Miami Dolphins' wonderful hold music.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever.
Really delighted to be joined on the line by a man who enjoyed his time out in London a couple of years ago. We'll be returning this coming Sunday with the Miami Dolphins, a Super Bowl winner with his time in Green Bay, had a stop off in Minnesota before arriving in the Sunshine State, and now he joins us on the line. Greg Jennings, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing great. Excited about this upcoming week, this trip to London. See you guys again.
Yeah, I mean, the last time we spoke was in the bowels of Wembley Stadium after that game, and certainly we'll get on and talk London, but before we get to the positives, I have to focus briefly on last night and ask you, what's the feeling like in the locker room after losing the home opener to the Bills yesterday?
Obviously, again, I've said this before, it was disappointment, great disappointment, because of the lack of effort, because the effort was there, but execution wasn't. The lack of execution in all three phases of the game. And for it to be a home opener and in front of our fans, not being able to perform the way we would have liked to perform and the way they would like to see us perform was a letdown and a disappointment.
Certainly, and you mentioned all three phases there, but particularly focusing on the offense and you guys, you overhauled the receiving core in the summer, bringing yourself in, Kenny Stills, drafting Devontae Parker. We've not seen a huge amount of you guys so far. Rashad Matthews obviously had a big day yesterday, but as a veteran leader, how do you keep those guys focused and how do you integrate so many new players into a team?
Well, it's tough at times, you know, during the game to get everybody involved and to kind of get everybody, you know, in a rhythm. But it's one of those things where we have to be professionals. We have to understand that, you know, we have to be ready to go when our number's called and be able to make plays when our team needs it. And when you're dealing with a group that we have, I think that's a good problem to have, and it's a challenge at the same time. But it's something that we definitely have to do better at from our standpoint of making sure that when we do get opportunities, making the plays and just staying focused and staying together.
It's certainly, you mentioned the opportunities, a couple of drops, and surprisingly, Greg Jennings drops, which something we've not really seen over your career. Is that due to a lack of playing time potentially? Is it one of those things that can be contagious once it starts?
Well, I'm not going to make any excuse for it at all. You know, it's uncharacteristic, but it's one of those things that it happens, and you have to be able to move on. You know, I play with a lot of guys over the course of my career, and I remember playing with one guy who made the statement that it hasn't been my first shot, and I'm sure as long as my career continues to grow and continues to go on, it won't be my last. But it's all about how you bounce back. But like I said, when you have limited opportunities, you can't have those kind of mishaps. You got to be able to make those catches, make those plays, and I didn't do that yesterday. I let my teammates down, let my quarterback down, and you know I let our fans down. So, like I said, I'm always excited about getting back out there and giving another shot and getting another opportunity to be great.
Fantastic. I'll ask about the team bouncing back, but you mentioned Ryan Tannehill there in terms of the quarterback, and we know that Brandon Albert missing yesterday. Obviously, it's always disruptive to lose a starting member from your line, particularly against a team like the Bills, who have such a strong defensive front. If Ryan had proper protection and if the line could steady itself, how good do you think he can be and this team's offense can be with Bill Lazor?
You know, I think we can be really good, but again, it all doesn't mean anything if we can't perform and put it together on Sundays. Everything isn't going to be perfect. Everyone isn't going to play every single week, and we're going to be without guys. We're going to have to overcome adversity, and we're going to have to win without key guys throughout the course of the year. And that's what a team is all about. That's what teams are made up of, guys who can step up and make plays for the next guy, for the guy that's out. So it's not about who we didn't have, it's about who we had and what we did with the guys that we had, and we didn't execute. And the Buffalo Bills, they came in and they put it to us.
And certainly, I'd just to ask about Ryan and his talent in general. I mean, you played with a couple of pretty good quarterbacks in Green Bay, I think it's fair to say. Where do you think Tannehill can be and what he can achieve with a bit of stability?
Well, I mean, I never put a limit on anyone. He can be as good as he desires to be. And the thing is, it's not just the beauty of this game is it's not just a one-man deal.
No doubt.
You have to rely on others. It's the ultimate team game. But at the same time, with that in that position, he's in a position where he has a say, an influence on the guys around him to bring their level of play up a notch. And so he can be as great as he wants to be. He definitely has the potential to do it. He definitely, and I do not like using that word potential because it's like unmanifested, you know, things that haven't taken place. But he's settling in, and I think he showed a lot of poise even last night with the beating that he kind of took.
Yeah,
not getting frustrated, just sticking with it, and showing grit and fight, and playing to the end.
No doubt. I think that second half performance showed that fantastically. I mean, we had two of the nine games yesterday, the 49ers playing in another one where quarterbacks had a nightmare first half. And I think Ryan really showed, like you say, some real steel to turn it around in that second half. Another player there who you obviously have had some interactions with in the past is Ndamukong Suh. You played it for him against him for years with both Green Bay and Minnesota. And he was such a big signing this offseason. But so far, just the one sack through 3 weeks for the whole team. Do you think the defense is playing the right way to take advantage of his skills, and do you back that very talented line to turn this around?
Oh, I definitely expect them to turn it around. I don't know what the scheme is over there, what they're doing, but you know, it's at the end of the day, you know, as a player, the first thing that most people start to look at is, you know, scheme and different things, but we players understand that we have to execute. Every team has a scheme, but every team has players that they demand execution from. And if you're not executing, then you're not going to have the success that you desire to have. And I think that's what we're dealing with when it not just comes to our defensive line, but our team as a whole. We're just not executing to the potential that we know we're capable of. And until we start to do that, we're not going to win the games that we know that we should win. So it's not about pointing a finger at the defensive line or saying what they're doing and what they're not doing. One thing I can say safely is that I know we're not executing.
I think it's fascinating you say that, and it's always great to hear sticking up for teammates. But we talk about the execution, and certainly I know Joe Philbin came out yesterday, talks about his responsibility to get the team reaching its potential, and as coaches, they need to do a better job as well as the players. Is the confidence level there in this coaching staff that they can dig you guys out of this hole and turn it around this season?
You know, I'm not one to put it on the coaches. You know, I'm one that, it's a player's game. The fans, they don't come to see how well a coach coaches. They come to see how well the players play, and if we can play together, and if we can execute, and if we can have fun and win some ball games. So it ultimately, it comes down to us, you know, us doing our job, because that's what we're paid to do. We're paid to make plays. We're paid to go out on Sundays and win ball games, and we haven't done that in the last couple of weeks, and it has to change this week.
No, and you talk about it changing this week, of course, coming out to Wembley. I mentioned it at the top. Last time we spoke was just off the back of that game, the Vikings-Steelers game 2 years ago. You personally had an absolute banner day that day, two touchdowns, including the long catch and run. London must hold some pretty positive memories for you.
They are. You know, it's fun to even think about it. You know, Wembley Stadium, and to have the performance that I had a couple of years ago, it definitely is something that will be stamped in the back of my mind for the rest of my life. You know, not a lot of guys can say they did that over at that stadium at that venue. But this is a new year, new team, and it's all about us versus the Jets now. And we have to come out and show that we can definitely execute and perform at a high level and give the fans a show.
And that's what we want to see, is certainly a show. And the Dolphins, they obviously came last year. They got the win last time they were out here. And having the team with so many of the elements who travelled last year, we know Mike Tannenbaum came out, and we know that a lot of the players were there. Are the preparations different to when you came out with the Vikings and it was their first time travelling across the pond?
It is. You know, with the Vikings, you know, we came out for the entire week. And it was a little different. And here we won't be out there as long, you know, but there's a rhyme and a reason for everything that we do. And there are people in place to make sure that we're trying to do the best thing for the guys who are going to be playing and different things like that, to make sure that we're prepared and ready to go come Sunday.
What do you tell young players, like if Devontae Parker or someone like that spoke to you and asked you what it's like playing out in London, what would be your main takeaways from playing out here before?
You know, it's unbelievable. It's an unbelievable experience. You know, my biggest thing is just to take it all in and embrace it, enjoy it, because it's nothing as great as fans we have in the States. It's great to see how thriving and how excited the fans are when we come over and we play the game of football that we call football, that they're excited about. But I think the most unique thing is just they just love the game. They're not, and they can care less about, you know, it being just Dolphins and the Jets. They're just cheering for big plays and just excited for whoever's going to make a play. And that's the beauty of it, because you're going to see all 32 jerseys. You're not going to just see Miami fans and Jets fans. You're going to see NFL fans. And I think that's what makes it so unique. That's what makes it so, you know, appealing, you know, for even us as players.
I'm glad to hear you're so positive on the experience. We're really looking forward to you coming out this week. And I just want to finish off by asking about that Jets team you're facing. 11 turnovers through their first three games, invested a lot in the defensive backfield. this summer. I know it's early in the week, but have you managed to look at much film already, and have you found some positives you may could take away from this defense?
No, I haven't looked at any film yet. You know, today was the day of us wrapping up, you know, our build film, and so getting home and getting situated. But I'm definitely going to take a peek at those guys. I'm very familiar with Brevis and Cromartie, so I know who they are. I know what they're all about. They're excellent players, and they have an outstanding secondary, and it's going to be an exciting matchup.
Beautiful. You mentioned Brevis there. You had a tough game against him last year for the Vikings. You're both in new situations now. He's a player we often hear so much about. And is he a guy who is one of the best you've faced? And if you get the opportunity to beat him, is that going to be all the sweeter this weekend?
He's definitely one of the best that I've faced. And it's all about, you know, making the best of your opportunities and being put in great situations. You know, a guy like that, you can't just run the same old... because he's the one that's on top of his game, and he's a savvy player. So what you have to be creative and innovative in how you approach him. And if you're not, you know, it may end up being in the wrong day, like it was for me last year. So he pretty much saw the same route almost every time. So he got the best of me last year.
Well, hopefully we can see something a bit different from you this weekend, something more akin to 2 years ago in London, two touchdowns then. And for Dolphins fans who are coming to this weekend's game, and we know there are a lot of them out here in the UK from their glory days of the 80s, when particularly NFL first took off out here, they're a heavily supported team. And just very final thing, tell us why they should be excited about seeing you and seeing this Miami offense coming out this weekend.
Well, you should be excited. Number one, we're a young team that's excited that knows that we have to get a win. You know, everyone talks about, you know, must wins and different things like that. And I feel like every game is a must win to make sure that you're putting yourself in the best position to be successful toward the end of the year. But it's a great division game for us. Huge division game, means a lot for us, means a lot for them. And so I'm sure we're going to both be ready to put on a great show for the fans.
Fantastic. Look, Greg, it's a real pleasure chatting to you. I'm particularly pleased because my co-host is a Green Bay fan, and we've now managed to have yourself, Jordy Donald, and James Jones all on the show. So all of the receivers from that great day back in 2011, and hopefully we can see the Dolphins go on a run like that and have a really positive rest of the year. So look forward to seeing you later this week, and enjoy your build up to London.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Greg Jennings there, more bullish than maybe we would have expected after the loss yesterday. I'm seriously concerned about that Dolphins defensive front and the fact that they've not managed to get going on offense, despite liking Bill Lazor and what he did last year. We really need to see some big improvement out of the Dolphins this coming weekend.
Oh, God, don't we? Oh, my goodness gracious me. They were so, so poor.
And maybe Simon Clancy will stop referring to them as
You definitely can't say that.
Well, I'll beep it out. It'll be fine.
Okay.
This is a great bit of swearing.
What about the Bills? Because, of course, we're going to see them against the Jags.
Oh, I'm really excited about seeing the Bills here, even though I'm worried it's going to be another Jags route at Wembley, sadly. I really, really like the Bills, and I liked them a lot in week one, and I like them again in week three. It's just they came up against a phenomenal Patriots side last weekend, and they tried something different against them instead of doing what they do well. Mm. And yeah, it's a bit of an all-round shame, that game, but they came back in this game, and yeah, we'll talk more about the Dolphins as the week goes on, and we'll speak to Clancy later this week and get his opinion on it, but yeah, big, big improvement needed from them. Now, I don't know if you could tell, but that stuff that was all in the middle of the podcast, in between the interviews, etc., was basically the stuff that we actually recorded for the original show and decided it was going to be too long and split it in half.
Yeah.
Good.
I couldn't tell.
Could you not?
No, because I was here with you.
Oh, yeah, that's
but
all true.
Other people could tell.
Oh, I'm so
could
sweaty.
They tell?
This room is very hot.
It's always hot.
Yeah. Why do we pick the only studio in this massive building that's full of studios to have no air conditioning?
Yeah, I don't know. Why do you do that?
I have no idea. Just keep checking us out at Gridiron on Twitter. Really great to speak with both Ryan Fitzpatrick and Greg Jennings. Really enjoyed that. And we'll have more coming up from both those teams later this week as we preview the Wembley game. As we mentioned on the last show, Gary Jordan asked us on Twitter what what we're going to be doing after the games. I think we're going to be going to the Hippodrome in Leicester Square. We will confirm that for definite on Twitter, so keep an eye on us there at Gridiron. Keep checking out, please. Go to sportstraveltours.com, check out what they do because it's fantastic. Go to gridiron-magazine.com and check out what we do because we're fantastic.
That's a stretch.
Yeah, that is a stretch. Yeah, yeah. That's two very self-deprecating endings to the podcast.
You've reached
though.
There. Gladly it wasn't a reach around.
Oh, God. Why? Why, Ollie?
I don't know.
Why do you debase yourself like that? And, of course, as I mentioned earlier today, if you're listening to this in two separate parts in one day, or at some point, I'm going to be appearing on Americanage tomorrow.
Hold up.
Americanage on Twitter. Don't be annoyed you've been not invited again.
Why haven't I been invited?
We've covered this already, Ollie. It's because you say things like reach around when you're on a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Although I think Mike Carson would have probably enjoyed that. So if you want to send...
Well, Mike Carson enjoys reach around.
So if you want to send me more abuse, which isn't the same abuse that you've abused me with here at Americanage... on Twitter, and we'll tweet out about my appearance on that as well. Ollie, is there anything else you'd like to add to this slightly abbreviated podcast?
I don't agree that Mike Carlson or Mike Tyson likes reach arounds. That's just Will Gavin that said that.
I'll try and confirm it tomorrow, guys. Thank you very much for listening. This has been the Gridiron Show, part two. You're going to have more coming later this week. Yay!
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, 'cause we're the Miami.